Twins win. Day after a primary. So much going on this afternoon. The breaking news, just heartbreaking, that we heard at the top of the hour. We'll continue following that, trying to get our arms around what led to an apparent murder-suicide. Just a horrible, horrible, violent day in the suburbs of Minneapolis. It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. We want to start coming right out of the Twins game with a very unique opportunity happening tomorrow. Field of Dreams, such an iconic movie. If you're a sports fan at all, you don't have to be a baseball fan to love that movie. To think of the Minnesota Twins in Iowa playing on the Field of Dreams, looking out in the corner, it evokes all of the best of town ball, all of the best of kids playing pickup games in the cornfield. And Tracy Perlman, our friend, is in Dyersville, Iowa right now. Tracy, where are you?
Hi, guys. We are right on third base, right on the third baseline. The game, there was a high school all-star game that just wrapped up behind us. So you can see they're turning over the field and getting it ready for tomorrow. I have my friend Don Mitchell from Fox 9 running camera.
How about that?
For me.
That's a highly paid photographer behind you today.
Thank you. I only like to bring the best when I travel. this is really cool, you guys. So what you're seeing is there's the field that they just built in the last 3 years. They put up the MLB field. There's this whole beautiful complex here with the cornfield. Just past me, I'm going to dip out of the way here.
If you're watching just on our live stream, Tracy is showing video and narrating this on YouTube and on our Facebook page.
But so behind us is the cornfield. And then behind that is the house and the field from the movie. The movie with Kevin Costner from, 89, I think, right? And so this is the field where the Twins and the Phillies are going to be playing tomorrow. We're really excited. I did bring my glove should somebody want to play catch. I also thought maybe I should steal corn from the cornfield, so we brought our own corn. and then we also found a butter squishy
to go with
the corn.
Yeah. Critical.
Which is nice. Yeah. So it's really cool. You know, people are going to be here from all over the country. Obviously, a lot coming from Minnesota, a lot from the Philadelphia area. And it's just neat. They've really built this up in a cute way. And it is literally like cornfield, dirt road, baseball field.
It is. It's so interesting, right, Tracy, when you pull up. I mean, the drive, you're south of Dubuque, like it's a bit of a drive for the Twin Cities to get down there, right?
Yeah, it took us about four and a half hours. We stopped and got gas, but it was an easy drive. Dawn did all the driving. I was just a passenger princess. And it was easy breezy down here. Everyone's been in such a good mood. We got here, we were able to walk around. We saw the house, we didn't go into it. We took some pictures. They've got the cornfield ready for tomorrow. So there'll be about 8,000 fans out here. They'll be able to go into the cornfield. I heard there's some cutouts so you can take pictures with players. We do know for the game itself, they're expecting over 25 Hall of Famers from Major League Baseball. The last time there were that many together in one place that wasn't Cooperstown was at a Yankees game several years ago. So we're really excited to see who's coming. The only names I've seen so far are Joe Mauer.
Of course. You know that Joe's
going to. Of course.
Right.
And then Jim Thome was here for an event today. And then Jim Cott was also named coming out here. So excited to see who else comes, who else we see, what other dignitaries from baseball. We're hoping for Kevin Costner. I don't know. So excited for that. And then, of course, the game.
Tracy, what's it like just for you and Don when you kind of rolled up on this? I think about some of the small towns, and Don with Fox 9, like they've done their town ball tours all over the state. It gives that vibe, right? Except this facility is brand new. The first game there was the St. Paul Saints game, right, the other day?
Yes. So actually, Don, if you want to spin the camera around, we can show the facility here. It's really neat. It's very much tucked back off the field. You cannot see this new facility when you're coming in off the dirt road. You can see the house and the movie set baseball field. But this is on the other side of the cornfield from that. Just a quick 2-3 minute walk. But they have about 4,000 permanent seats in the stadium. They add another 4,000 on bleachers. And then there's a whole like fan area that's right behind us. where they've got food, concessions, photo ops. There's corn everywhere. And so it's very fan friendly. The guest services staff are trained. They're welcoming everybody. They're telling you which way to go, how to get there, asking if you want your photo taken. So it's been a really, really cool experience.
Dyersville, Iowa. You know, people can go down there and visit this, right? It's a tourist site where you can visit like the field, the cornfield. There's a little bit of a museum, commemorative kind of stuff. But this is going to be quite a TV show, I suspect, tomorrow night. It is on Netflix. You have to watch it on Netflix, but it's going to be cool.
Yes, it is on Netflix. We accidentally sat in on a production meeting. oops, it was in the media room.
That's good.
There was air conditioning. Can't blame us.
You know, Dawn Mitchell could probably use some of that Netflix money. I mean, based on what I'm paying per month for this thing, I bet it's pretty good.
Yeah. We offered our services.
Oh.
Yeah. It's going to be a really cool pregame. It's about a half hour pregame series. I don't want to ruin any of their surprises, but it's about a half hour pregame show with some really cool touches, all the pomp and circumstance that you want out of some of these special marquee games. And, you know, they haven't done this in 3 years. So I think there is some of that nostalgia. There's the movie nostalgia. You have the uniqueness of playing offsite. They do play other games here throughout the year now that the building up and running. So I saw KU is going to be playing Iowa later this fall. They have other like commemorative games. You can actually rent the field out, Jason, with all your big radio money and have like the DeRussia Classic. So
it's pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I'm so glad you guys get to be down there, and you're helping out with Fox 9's coverage, right? So you and Dawn will be on TV tonight.
Dawn will be on TV tomorrow. I think they're sticking me on the stream. So I'll stick to where I am best online. There she is.
Hi, Dawn. Excellent camera work. I mean, you're a multi-faceted talent, I think.
Well, you know, I think it's only because I have really long arms. Like, seriously, my wingspan is kind of freakish.
Yeah. It's impressive.
But, you know, we like a lot of people were looking around and you were like, this is a really cool, rare opportunity. And when Fox said, yeah, let's have you guys go down, we're covering fans. Tomorrow we're going to be running around in the cornfield with people. They've got some cool food. Airmark is the vendor that's doing all the concessions here. And they've come up with some really unique regional favorites. So I saw like there was a Philly cheesesteak. They have a hot dog with corn and bacon relish we're looking forward to. So we'll do some investigative journalism and try some of the food for you guys.
Excellent.
And the wine.
Oh, and then, somebody told us there's wine in the cornfield. So we're going to go out there and find it.
Oh, that's
if you pour it, they will come. And by they mean Dawn.
If you pour it, we will come. Yes.
Dawn Mitchell, Tracy Perlman with us live in Dyersville, Iowa. This was so fun. Thank you guys for spending a little time with us. Enjoy the corn. Yeah. Enjoy the wine. If they pour it, they will come. I mean, this Dan finally, like, you know, they knew how to connect to me, right? They understood the assignment. It is 4:21 right now on Drive Time with DeRussia. And what I want to do in the spirit of Target Field, the Twins, people coming together, why don't we give away some tickets? Who wants to go see Tim McGraw, Lady A, the Chicks at Target Field? We have a 2-pack of tickets for someone who can play Name That Tune. We're doing a Tim McGraw song today. 651-461-9226. You got to call right now. We'll play a short clip of a song. Today, I'm convinced it's going to take more than the first caller to get this one right. It is Tim McGraw, the Pawn Shop Guitar Tour on August 23rd at Target Field. Live Nation gave us these tickets. We thank them. You can find tickets at Ticketmaster.com, but why don't you win them? 651-461-9226. We'll do that. Then we have Lisa Daymuth. Then we have Peggy Flanagan. So much happening on Drive Time with DeRussia.
I'm going to have some fun.
That's it. That's it. We had a little dramatic pause before we got that. The computer, it takes a minute for the hamster to start running on that wheel to get this thing to go. But that was a little itty-bitty clip of Tim McGraw. We're trying to make it a little harder for our contestants today. This is our Tim McGraw Pawn Shop Guitar Tour Ticket giveaway, The Chicks, Lady A, great lineup on Sunday, August 23rd at Target Field. And I've got five contestants ready to go. Melissa in Pine Springs, here is that clip again. Let's see if you can name that Tim McGraw tune.
I'm going to have some fun.
That's it. Melissa, you got it?
Can I guess?
Do it.
Yeah. Where the Green Grass Grows.
That is not it. Try again tomorrow, Melissa. We'll do this again tomorrow. Brent in Anoka, can you name that Tim McGraw tune?
I cannot. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry for you. Thank you for calling and for listening. Scott in St. Michael. Dan Cook made it hard today, Scott. Can you do it?
Next 30 years.
I'm going to have some fun. Try to forget about
you got
all
it.
The crazy things I've done. Woo. Maybe now I've conquered all my adolescent fears.
You had to really think it through.
I'll do it better in my next 30 years.
See, there you go. You had to get, we didn't give it to you right before the money line, but you came through. Well done, Scott. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You must be a little bit of an old school Tim McGraw fan, right?
Yes, old school Tim McGraw.
What, Cook, when you picked out this song, Dan Cook, listen to the level that he went through to bring this particular clip.
This is the kind of pressure I get from my boss here at WCCO Radio is, he does not want the first caller to, you want to make
right.
it too easy.
Right.
So I went to PT, our friend over at Wolf,
our country 102.9, station 102.9.
And I said, PT, give me a Tim McGraw song that isn't one of his big, big hits, but one that people still know so that I can go in and find a little clip of it. And he was the one that came up with My Next 30 Years. So
good song, though, right?
Great song.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you going to bring to the show at Target Field on August 23rd?
My wife, Kathy.
Yeah. Who's the bigger fan, Kathy or you?
Probably me.
Yeah. Nice. It's going to be fun. Have you seen a show at Target Field before?
I have not.
Oh, Scott, you're in for a treat. It is. The sound is great. The setup is cool. And the vibes are just great. There's something about being at a ballpark with the open air and just having a great night with the skyline in the background. It's pretty fun. I'm excited for you. You're going to have a great night.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate
stay
it.
On the line. Dan will get your information. Thanks for listening, too. We appreciate that. Scott in St. Michael winning that 2-pack of tickets. We have two more of these. It's only Wednesday, so we're doing this Thursday and Friday. So you got to listen. We never know when we're going to do it in the show, but we thank Live Nation for the tickets. And you can find tickets. There are not a ton left.
Nope.
I was looking the other day. But you can buy tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We were talking with some of the vendors out at Target Field yesterday, and they absolutely loved the Noah Kahan experience.
Yes, they did.
Because they had a sellout. And
they loved Banana Ball, too.
If I know anything about a Tim McGraw show, they are going to move some beer at Target Field.
Yes, they are.
So come on downtown, have fun. Come pregame if you want over at O'Donovan's or some of the other great restaurants around Target Field. But we thank Live Nation, and that'll be a fun one. Right as we get ready for the State Fair. That'll be the Sunday before the first day of the State Fair.
Yeah, so two full shows the rest of the week, tomorrow and Friday. And so anytime between 3 and 6, you got to be listening because we'll do it at some point during the show, but
We're
not going to tell you when. You got to listen.
Because this whole thing, we don't actually care about you. We are giving you tickets.
I care. I don't know what you're
talking
about.
As a way to just try to get you to listen to this show. That's all. It's just a crap, right? Is that why we
no.
do this?
No. Oh. We're trying to do something nice for the people that listen to us on a regular basis.
Sure.
So we're rewarding them for their listening by sending them for free to a show that's difficult to get tickets to.
That's pretty good.
That's doing something nice. That's caring about the people. See, you have this big, gruff exterior. You know, you're all sarcastic and, you know, and you're just a big softy at heart.
It's true.
You love the people.
Well, and I love, like, what I want is I want everybody who wins, I want Scott to, like, send me a picture. You know,
yeah, that'd be great.
I want to be tagged in social media or whatever, or email me a picture.
Like, Audra Martin from the Twins tagged you in social media today.
Well, it's very nice.
Nice of her.
Except, sadly, Audra, we talked on the show yesterday about the danger of being a sideline reporter for the Minnesota Twins, And Audra's like, oh, I got my head on a swivel because I don't want to get hit by a ball. And sure enough, this afternoon,
smoked
by a foul ball.
Sorry, Audra.
And then sends me this picture of her with just like this big old bag of ice. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
sorry,
did we put the hacks on Audra? It's possible.
You can't prove it. We didn't.
If you missed that conversation with Audra, the Drive Time with DeRussia podcast should be part of your regular listening habits. You can find us on Spotify, on the Odyssey app, on Apple Podcasts, and we also put clips of our interviews on YouTube. So we're streaming live on YouTube right now. I posted a little clip of the Audra interview as well, so that's at WCCO Radio on YouTube. Speaking of which, the Republican nominee for governor is standing by. Lisa Daymuth, some people underestimated her. She dominated yesterday. We'll talk about that and talk about the election moving forward. And hopefully Lisa Daymuth doesn't get hit by a foul ball. I mean, I'm not trying to injure our guests on this show. Peggy Flanagan will join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Newsmakers coming here to Drive Time with DeRussia. History last night in Minnesota's primary election. Record turnout for Democrats and for Republicans. And for the first time in a long time, the Republican-endorsed candidate did not win in the race for governor. And add on top of it, the presidential endorsement, which went to Mike Lindell, that also did not carry the day. Lisa Daymuth did. She joins us via video link up on our video stream. She's with us after what I imagine was a relatively late night. Congratulations, Lisa.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for the opportunity to have a conversation with you. What I would say is Minnesotans are ready for a change. And by the record numbers that came out to vote in our primary last night and the results of that, I am happy to be on the ballot, ready to defeat Amy Klobuchar in November.
Do you think you were underestimated in this campaign?
You know, our campaign worked incredibly hard, Jason. From the time that I entered the race on November 2nd, we were looking at this next November, and we were hearing how frustrated Minnesotans are about fraud, about how high our taxes are, and the failure of the educational outcomes for our kids. And so was I underestimated? Maybe, maybe not. What I did is I was listening to Minnesotans and bringing the change that is so needed, both in my legislative work, but also going forward as the next governor.
The Star Tribune headline this afternoon says Minnesota Republicans put electability before Trump. Is that how you read what happened here?
Our message of common sense resonated with Republicans, and that's why they turned out in record numbers to vote, but also voting for me. Electability obviously matters, but my work in the legislature and that common sense approach, the ability to work across the aisle, especially in the tie in the House of Representatives, and return results, I think that is what spoke very loudly.
Now, you didn't get picked by President Donald Trump. You wanted to. You know, the Democrats are going to paint you as a rubber stamp for whatever the president wants. Do you think Lisa Daymuth as governor would be able to tell Donald Trump if he was doing something that was bad for the state? Can you stand up to Donald Trump?
You know, Jason, what
scenario?
When I look at where my focus has always been, I have always put Minnesota first, and I will continue to do that. You look at Amy Klobuchar, who has been in Washington for 20 years, even with the fraud that went on here in our state, knowing those dollars were also federal dollars, Amy Klobuchar has not done a single thing to protect our state from fraud as it has gone forward. My intent and my ability to work hard in Minnesota has always been to put Minnesota first. I appreciate what has been done at the federal level. I support federal immigration. I also support the fact of being able to comply with the federal regulations for SNAP and other things. If people are able-bodied and can work, they should. So there are more dollars to go to those who really need it. So yes, I support those things, but I'm focused on Minnesota ending fraud, lowering taxes, lowering our car tab fees and our property taxes, and giving the Minnesota kids the education that they so desperately need.
So you mentioned Amy Klobuchar and how she would respond to fraud. Vanita asked her about that today.
She's going to tie you to fraud. Where were you when this fraud was happening in Minnesota?
Well, I was your senator and am continuing to do that job. But what I did is not just talk about it. I acted. The minute that I heard about it, I called our U.S. attorney, who I had put in place, Andy Luger, the one that prosecuted and exposed the fraud, charged over 75 people. I called him and said, what do you need?
So that's going to be her response, that she was a federal official. And when she learned about it, she immediately called for backup and for Fed support. How do you respond to that?
The way I respond to that is, under the Walz administration, fraud has exploded. Things like the Quality Clearing Center are a laughing stock. The New York Times called the level of fraud under the Walz administration brazen,
right, but
in the way that
do you
it was.
Think, but Amy Klobuchar wasn't part of the Walz administration, handled. Right? I mean, do you really believe that Amy Klobuchar is the Walz third term that's sort of been part of the story that your campaign?
Absolutely. I absolutely do.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why?
Yes, I do.
Why?
And here is why, Jason. Because Amy Klobuchar has called Governor Walz a great governor. She has supported him as he's run, no matter what. She said he would be a great vice president. Amy Klobuchar has also absolutely supported President Biden while he was failing. She said he was absolutely fit for service. It brings into question the ability to know what type of leaders are needed, especially here in Minnesota. And Amy Klobuchar has not delivered on that, nor will she change and be that person
that
we so desperately need.
Can you give an example
of a change here in the state of Minnesota to go? Mm-hmm.
No, sorry for interrupting.
We have to go, Jason.
Yeah, go for it.
We have to go deep enough in what we're doing here in Minnesota to really clean up the state from multiple levels, not just commissioners, but deep enough into the bureaucracy, where you've seen no one lose their job when fraud was noted in DHS. Falsified documents. Nobody lost their job.
I mean, I agree with you on all of this stuff, but Amy Klobuchar
starts at the top, and I'm able to deliver.
I totally agree with you on this stuff, but Amy Klobuchar was in Washington, D.C. I mean, if you run a campaign that tries to say, what did Amy Klobuchar do? Isn't it fair to say, what did Lisa Damoth do? You were the Speaker of the House.
I was. And I am. And here's what I did. As Speaker of the House, we passed the Office of Inspector General bill. We add additional full-time equivalent employees.
Well,
to
yeah,
the
we've
Office
all done a lot of stuff
auditor.
After the fact. Like
Amy
Klobuchar did stuff after the fact, too. That's the issue. Everybody, after we found out, is like, yeah, we're going to prosecute people. I think the question is, where did things go wrong on the front end? And aren't you as responsible as Amy Klobuchar? I get what I'm saying is, I don't think either of you are responsible, but I don't know if voters are really going to buy this idea that, oh, Lisa Damoth should have done something or Amy Klobuchar should have done something.
I did what I could, and I actually had a bill in 2019, my very first year in the legislature, for internal controls in child care facilities receiving CCAP dollars. I'm looking to protect taxpayer dollars here, reduce the size of our budget because it has exploded, reduce the growth in government here in Minnesota. My focus has always been on Minnesota, serving the people here, and will continue to be.
Lisa Damoth is with us. She won the Republican nomination for governor. She will be the candidate against Amy Klobuchar. You know, Republicans have struggled to win any statewide office since Tim Pawlenty was the governor of the state. What is it about Lisa Damoth that's different from some of those other Republican candidates that makes you think, you know what, I think we got a shot at this year?
Jason, I've never been climbing a political ladder. I've just been hardworking. I was born and raised here in Minnesota. I'm a business owner. I'm just a regular Minnesotan that wants to see things better. And so the difference is, though, my ability to work across the aisle with a tied House of Representatives and to get good things done for Minnesota. Just because people might think I'm nice, or they say, you really smile a lot, you seem happy. I love what I get to do, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to hold for the things that are absolutely right. It doesn't mean that I'm weak in any way. I will fight for Minnesota every day. And that's what maybe sets me apart than what you've seen in the past. I think the thing also you have to keep in mind is Minnesotans are fed up with fraud. My Democrat colleagues don't want to talk about that when they're out door knocking. Minnesotans are not going to let that go away. And they want to know that their tax dollars are protected, that they can afford their lives, and that Minnesota both has hope and the chance at a comeback that we need.
Democrats have also clearly been motivated by Metro Surge and ICE agents here in Minnesota. That was clearly their issue. I think on the Republican side, fraud and the cost of government is certainly the issue. Do you look at ICE? Do you have a message to independents who really did not like the tactics, who are disgusted and offended by the tactics that we saw from some of the ICE agents terrorizing our city? Do you have a message to those folks, those independents who might be inclined to listen to the Lisa Damith message, but they're pretty ticked off about ICE?
I support our federal immigration laws, but as a governor, what I will do, Jason, is make sure we're working with the federal authorities so our streets don't become more dangerous, like we saw under Mayor Fry, under failed Governor Walz, making our streets very unsafe for residents. I would say if there are changes that need to be made at the federal level when it comes to immigration, Amy Klobuchar has been in Washington for 20 years. And there haven't been changes. And so as the next governor, I will make sure we do uphold immigration laws and keep our streets safe here.
You would be the first black woman as governor of Minnesota. Either way, we're going to have our first woman as governor of Minnesota. It's pretty cool. Do you take that moment in at all? I think when you look at it, to me, it's cool, but I'm just a white guy. What do I know? You know?
I think it is very cool. It's historic in this nature. I've made history in multiple other ways, becoming the first Republican female as Speaker of the House, the first Black Speaker of the House, Democrat or Republican. What I always say, though, Jason, is it takes someone that is willing to work hard and is qualified for the job. And I know that I am. But I'm looking forward to the day that this is no longer history, that young women are going to be able to look and say, oh, that's been done. I want to follow along that way rather than always being such a surprise. A lot of people, when they realize Minnesota has never had a female governor, they're shocked by that. I think it's past time, but it's going to take someone that's very qualified for the job, and I'm ready for the challenge.
Well, we're going to have many more conversations, really talking about some of the issues here. And I think what I'm hopeful for in the next couple months is that, yes, we can talk about things that happened before. We can talk about fraud. We can talk about ICE. But I also want to look forward. Like you mentioned, improving our kids' education in the school. On your website, I know you've talked about too much money going to administrators, not enough going to classrooms. And I really want to dig into that stuff as well, because I think Minnesotans, we want an image. We want a vision for the future, not just, you know, relitigating the last 2 years or last 4 years or whatever, you know.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And as we go forward and we continue to put out our plans on that vision for Minnesota, we've got 83 days. And that's really important that Minnesotans hear that. It's something that we've been talking about. You have to look at the past and learn from it, or you will repeat the same mistakes. And so I think looking back has a purpose. But I am always about looking forward. How can we improve lives, make things better for Minnesotans? And that is what drives me, makes me get up every day and work many, many hours, and I'm excited about the opportunities ahead.
Lisa Damith, Michelle Tafoya, probably the two most electable, I think I said after President Trump endorsed Mike Lindell that I thought there was a chance that the sort of outsider, I think I called it the weirdo, I'm sorry, the weirdo part of the Republican Party was going to split. and that the normal Republicans were going to vote for Lisa Daymuth, your margin of victory was impressive. So I think the Republicans have made a statement for sure.
Well, thank you very much, Jason. I appreciate that.
Lisa Daymuth with us on CCO. You know, nobody really wants to accept my way of splitting the Republican Party. But I think you guys like generally know what I'm talking about there. It's 450. Your response, always welcome at 651-461-9226. Just after local news at 5 o'clock, Peggy Flanagan will join us on CCO. Lots of texts. Everybody has their opinion on these interviews. Like, I try to ask everybody tough questions. That's sort of my approach. I don't, no matter who, well, I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I will say, I think the Republicans put forward their best candidates in decades. Michelle Tafoya, as a Senate candidate, is going to have to start running a federal race. At least I think so. Maybe not. If she's going to campaign on the walls, administration screwed up fraud, and I'm going to go to Congress and what? Like, I guess I don't understand that angle at least. But she has the benefit of being an excellent communicator, a relatively moderate Republican, moderate on pro-life. So there are a lot of things that disqualified other candidates for a large segment of voters, including myself. And they don't disqualify Michelle. Lisa Daymuth, same story. With her experience, and you heard something from Lisa Daymuth that you hear from Lisa and you hear from Amy Klobuchar. Both talk about working across the aisle. Isn't that interesting? Because that's like kryptonite in the Senate race, for example. I think it's quite fascinating. So I'm sure bipartisanship and working across the aisle is not going to be a major focus of anyone's campaign. I will be bored if the campaign is Lisa Daymuth is going to be a rubber stamp for Trump and Amy Klobuchar is Tim Walz's third term. It's like, well, I'll take a nap on this. That will not inspire me in either direction. I don't know for you guys, but for me, that is uninteresting. I do think Lisa Daymuth, I would like to hear, give me one thing that Trump did that you don't like. And that I sort of teed that up with ICE, and she didn't really answer it. I will ask that same question. I will ask Peggy Flanagan the converse of that. Is there some, well, do I want to give it away? Do I tell you? I'm skeptical of people who are, I'm 100% with Trump or I'm 100% against Trump. And apply that to anyone. I'm 100% against Walt. There's got to be stuff that, like, you guys agree on. Continental Diamond. Time check. It's 4:58. ContinentalDiamond.com. They love and get, they don't care who you're voting for. They just want you to vote for a beautiful pre-owned luxury watch. Check it out at Continental Diamond at St. Louis Park. Peggy Flanagan, top of the hour. Record turnout, record enthusiasm. Are you guys fired up about these candidates? Are you fired up about the issues right now? I like to see it. I like to see it. I think our next guest likes to see it as well. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is with us via video link up at our live stream on YouTube and on X and on Facebook. Lieutenant Governor, congratulations on your dominating win last night.
Thank you so much, Jason. I'm happy to be with you.
Were you surprised by the margin of victory?
We were incredibly encouraged by the margin of victory. But I will say this, you know, we ran a grassroots people powered campaign. I did 300 events in 112 communities since we started this race all across the state of Minnesota. And I think that really paid off last night. A lot of folks showed up. I'm grateful to them, and I will work hard to earn the trust and support of Congresswoman Craig's supporters, and also work hard to earn the support of Republicans and independents and people who don't necessarily feel like they're part of any political party.
The national narrative on this is really trying to put you in this bucket with other progressives who are left, and then even more to the left, sort of democratic socialist aligned candidates, saying that you're part of that wave. For those of us in Minnesota who have seen you around as a DFLer for 20 plus years, I don't know that that quite fits. How do you read this? Do you see yourself as part of this sort of national wave?
I mean, what I see is that, you know, we ran a campaign, to make sure that people could afford the lives they want to live. And I heard from folks all across Minnesota who are done with the Washington establishment and the status quo. And so that's, you know, what we talked about on the trail. As, you know, I listened to Minnesotans. They said that they wanted a fighter, someone who's going to stand up to Donald Trump. And that's what we're going to do. What I'd also say is, you know, that as you mentioned, I'm a DFLer. I have been a Democratic Farmer Labor Party member as long as, since I was a kid, right? Dropping lit for my auntie when I was 3 years old in 1982 when she was running for the state Senate. So,
which already Republicans have filed a complaint about you working as a three-year-old. It just happened right now.
That's right. But
I get, I get why people are doing this. It is a national story. And definitely the race between Angie Craig and you certainly was defined by, do voters want a more centrist, more moderate Democrat, or do they want a progressive / more to the left Democrat?
Well, I also think what this was about and what we're seeing in races all across the country is that, you know, we said this campaign was about the many versus the money. I think that people are sick and tired of, corporate PACs and special interests putting their thumb on the scale, especially, frankly, in places where they don't live. And, you know, we had about $20 million spent against us. And, I'm beholden to Minnesotans. I feel pretty good about that. And I think Minnesotans do too.
Will you continue that pledge to not take corporate PAC money going into the general election?
Absolutely. It's one of the easiest decisions I've ever made. Now, that means I have to hustle a little bit more, but that's all right. You know, I've had to hustle for a lot of things in my life. But it is, you know, I think that when someone contributes to the campaign, if it's $5, $50, they feel like, you know, they're really part of it. That is also powerful. And again, I think the best way to end Citizens United and get, you know, corporate special interest dollars out of our politics is to demonstrate that we can, you know, run and win strong grassroots people powered campaigns. And that's what we're going to keep doing as we go into the general election in the fall.
So I do think this issue, though, as to whether you align yourself more with, well, and maybe the best way to get at this is to say, do you see yourself as being like a Senator Bernie Sanders or like an AOC type congressperson? Or do you see yourself and I know you say you're a DFLer, but the Republicans are going to say over and over, no, she's not. She's DSA. She is far left, anti-Israel, Peggy Flanagan. How do you respond to that?
I mean, I think that I'm a Peggy Flanagan Democrat. You name some of those folks, and I'm grateful to have their support. But I'm also grateful to have the support of the DFL party, both in the endorsement and then, as we are the official nominee last night, Senator Tina Smith as well. But, you know, my work has really been grounded in helping people to afford the lives they want to live. As the executive director of Children's Defense Fund, Minnesota, I co-chaired the campaign to raise the minimum wage in the state and index it to inflation. It's also where I did a lot of work on food security. It's where we ensured that we were expanding the school breakfast program at schools all across Minnesota, and where I first started lobbying on Market Box, making sure that families could utilize, their SNAP at local farmers markets. The other thing that I would say is, paid family and medical leave is something I started working on when my kiddo was still a baby. We built a coalition. We got that done. And so, I'd say this, my occupation might change, but my vocation is always the same, to make sure that children and families have what they need to thrive, and that, people can afford the lives they want to live. Because right now, what I'm hearing more from anybody, what I'm hearing more than anything as I'm traveling across the state, is that people are frustrated. They can't, they're struggling to pay their bills. The high price of gas, their utilities, healthcare, it all feels incredibly out of reach. And those feel like issues that we can work on together. We don't have to agree on everything, but I certainly think you shouldn't have to be kicked into bankruptcy if you have, some type of health issue. And that's why I support Medicare for All and making sure that we ban prior authorization so that some dude behind a desk or an AI bot doesn't get to determine whether or not you get the healthcare your doctor's prescribed. It's also why I think, farmers should be able to repair their own damn equipment. And these are things, again, that are grounded in making sure that, folks can make some money, that they can maybe take a vacation every once in a while, and that the Donald Trump is driving our economy right off a cliff.
So these are, as we talk with Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, these are for sure, I think, the general election issues that the independent voters are going to be interested in, Republicans who might be convincible. But when you look at what motivated DFLers and Democrats to come out for you, when I asked on Blue Sky today, what is it that, what do you think people underestimated about Peggy Flanagan? The universal response was anger with ICE, anger with what happened in Minnesota and ICE. Is that a conversation that you plan on continuing going forward? Is that a DFL issue, not a general election issue? Where do you kind of look at the impact of Operation Metro Surge on what has happened in this campaign?
Sure. I mean, this is the epitome of Donald Trump's cruelty and chaos, right? 3,000 ICE agents in our streets terrorizing our communities, the economic impact, the trauma, especially to our children, and the fact that two Minnesotans lost their lives and that this agency has been able to kill with impunity. This is a big deal, and we need to make sure that the Trump administration is held to account. I also think, when it comes to Michelle Tafoya, she, literally used footage of ICE agents in our streets in her, campaign launch. She then went on to say that ICE treated children really, really well. Well, tell that to Liam Ramos or to the kids who have had their parents detained. We can have secure borders. We can have, an immigration system, and it is what I will work for, that is grounded in safety and dignity and a pathway to citizenship. I think, a lot of Minnesotans, regardless of their political affiliation, were absolutely not okay with what happened here. And I know that there's people who are activated to show up for their neighbors to deliver meals or, to stand on street corners outside of worship services, who aren't just DFLers, but are just Minnesotans who are horrified.
When you saw the results, not just in the metro, you saw it in Duluth, you saw it all over the state, the margin of victory for you. And I do think ICE was the defining issue for DFLers coming out. I think in the general, the defining issue, at least what Republicans want the defining issue to be, is going to be fraud. And what is perceived as just a sort of spend, spend, spend Democrat trifecta and the Walz administration. We've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. Are you willing to take any responsibility for the fraud that has happened in Minnesota that stole millions, maybe billions of dollars from taxpayers?
I mean, it's completely unacceptable. And I, you know, want to be clear, and, you know, I've said this before, but as someone who ran a nonprofit organization that served children and families, the fact that folks would, you know, these criminals would steal taxpayer dollars for their own grift and take these, you know, resources away from the people who really need them is completely unacceptable. You know, we know that 100 people have been charged, 60 have been convicted. Amy Bach, you know, the mastermind behind Feeding Our Future has.
When I said to Lisa Damith that everybody has stepped up after we found out about it. I think what taxpayers are frustrated with is that not enough was done to set up systems on the front end to prevent it. That when warning signs were raised, not enough was done there. Are there things that you think in the Senate that you could do that could help on that end? Because, we did great once we found out there were fraudsters. But on the front end, there was not enough done up front.
And Jason, I agree with you. I think more should have been done sooner. And, you know, now the Office of Inspector General, the independent office was passed with bipartisan support. The Attorney General now has additional resources to go after, you know, folks who are trying to steal Medicaid dollars. And
did you just not have power? I think the lieutenant governor sometimes gets portrayed as you're Tim Walz's number two. And sometimes it gets portrayed as like, well, the lieutenant governor like takes on projects, but it isn't exactly like you're the number two in state government. Did you not have power to intervene when the first reports of this came out?
Well, you know, the governor said the buck stops with him. He took the lead here. But I also want to be clear that, you know, all state leaders need to make sure that this fraud does not continue and that they stay two steps ahead of criminals. And, you know, that is going to mean that folks will have to continue to adapt and that sometimes policy at the legislature moves not as quickly as it should. And so my hope is that going forward, folks are going to be more nimble because I think that is what this response requires. What I would also say, though, is that, you know, I hear from Minnesotans of all political parties who are very frustrated with what they see coming out of this White House and a president who is concerned primarily about his own self-enrichment in, you know, insider trading to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, making, you know, money hand over fist with a meme coin directly from the Oval Office and giving sweet deals to folks, you know, in government contracts in return for paying for this gilded ballroom. And I think that is for the Republicans, you know, especially for Michelle Tafoya, who's running for the United States Senate. I think she is going to be another yes, sir, Mr. President, senator. And boy, we don't need that. We need someone who's looking out for Minnesotans and who's going to stand up to Donald Trump. And
is there anything that Donald Trump has proposed or enacted that you agree with?
That's a big question because the list is pretty long of places where I think he needs to do much, much better work. But here's the deal. You know, I know that Minnesotans are frustrated with what they've seen. You know, I had a Republican come to one of our events in southwestern Minnesota, who is a farmer. And he said, I don't agree with you on everything, but I'm here because I'm incredibly frustrated that SNAP has essentially been pulled out of the ag bill. This used to be a place where Republicans and Democrats could work together. We have to get back there. And so, you know, that is, I think, what this opportunity is also about. We can rebuild these coalitions. But when we see, you know, Donald Trump and the the division, the deception, and you know, I think folks have had it, and we need to make sure that we keep this Senate seat blue, that we win back the Democratic majority in the Senate and the House, and try to get this country back on track, working for working families who are just trying to survive, but feel like, you know, Donald Trump is driving this economy off a cliff.
Peggy Flanagan, Lieutenant Governor, the DFL, dominating victory. I mean, 20 percentage points, a mandate from DFL primary voters for sure. And off we go now against Michelle Tafoya. I suspect we'll see you at the fair, right?
You're going to see me at the fair. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It's my favorite thing. I will be there, brother. We will hang out.
People can accuse Peggy Flanagan of many things, but you cannot accuse her of being a phony when it comes to the fair.
That's exactly right. I love the fair. I will be there on opening day, and I'll see you there.
Very good. Peggy Flanagan, congratulations. All women winning the Senate races for the Republican and the Democrat and the governor's candidates. So four women at the top. Bravo. I hate that it's about time because it's so like, oh, it's about time. But like, it's four quality candidates. It should be good for Minnesota. Good debate. Thanks, Peggy. Appreciate it. 523. Lots of text coming in as always. And as always, you guys hear whatever you want to hear. I mean, that's how we do this. For those of you who don't text, this is for you. This is what we do that. Appreciate all of the text response as well. We've got enough coming your way at 5:35. It's politics free, though. I'm banning politics from enough. Only regular real life stuff that you are fed up with. We'll do that. Coming up in just a couple minutes here on Drive Time with DeRusha. What surprised you most last night? Me, I was surprised. Well, two things surprised me. I thought Mike Lindell was going to win. I really did. I'm glad he didn't. I think Lisa Daymuth is the best Republican candidate for governor in a long time. She has a record. She's been tested through challenging times. She did work with Democrats to get a budget done. And I think in a very narrowly divided House, she kept Republicans together and managed to do it in a way that wasn't obnoxious and annoying. I will say that I thought the Trump endorsement would put Lindell over the top, and it did not. I thought that Lisa Daymuth needed to be tougher and go at her opponents more, and she didn't. So, pretty interesting. So that surprised me. I thought and said on the air that I thought Peggy Flanagan was going to win. I think ICE changed everything. I also think AIPAC money has become a third rail for hardcore Democrats. And over the next couple of weeks, maybe we'll unpack why that is. Is it anti-Israel politics right now? Is it anti-Semitism? I think it's a little of both. But I do think there are certain lobbying groups that become like shorthand for like, oof, you're sort of a stooge. You're working for them, not working for us. And AIPAC, I think, became that for Angie Craig. So for Peggy Flanagan to not take PAC money, pretty smart. In this cycle, that has worked out well. Now, Michelle Tafoya is going to have a ton of money. Do you want to run this campaign with one hand behind your back? That may motivate DFLers to come out for you. Will it win over the convincible people? I don't know. We'll see. If it may be possible that all you need to do is motivate your base to come out. It's a turnout game. But you have to say, like Flanagan also, I think people like to put her in this. She's this crazy leftist. But she's been the lieutenant governor for 8 years. People around the state have gotten to know her. She has been campaigning. Did she think she was going to run for governor at some point? Probably. So that sort of grassroots organizing still matters. And Angie Craig tried to do it via TV ads. And I think also people forget that if you are a U.S. rep from Eagan, That doesn't mean that anyone outside your district knows you.
Right.
How many of our congressmen can you guys name that aren't in your district? Yeah, you know Ilhan Omar, you know Tom Emmer, you know your rep, and maybe that's it.
Yeah, obviously Peggy's pushback on the money thing is going to say, I just got outspent, you know, how many times over in this primary race, and I won by 20 points, so I'm not scared of Michelle Tafoya coming in with a bunch of money. You know, obviously a general election's a far cry from a primary election, so it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. I think the most surprising thing to me last night was the margins of victory for both Peggy Flanagan and for Lisa Daymuth. I did call yesterday that Lisa Daymuth was going to win.
You were right.
But I certainly didn't see it by double digits. I certainly thought it was going to be a much closer race, maybe not as close as Wisconsin was, but still very, very close. And I think that goes back to, obviously, Mike Lindell brought up the polling, and, you know, the polling clearly wasn't spot on. But again, polling isn't predictive, right? It's a snapshot of where you're at. And polling in a primary is very, very difficult because you're polling eligible voters, and most eligible voters don't vote in primaries.
Yeah, the latest, so, I looked at the KSTP poll, the last poll they did for the DFL side had 15% undecided.
Yeah.
Well, it's very conceivable that those 15 went to Peggy Flanagan.
Yep.
Because that's where the energy was, that's where the organizing was, that's where the phone calls and door knocking was. So that, and same with Daymuth, like she had a better game, a better organized campaign.
And to my point, you know, when you call somebody for a poll, they're very happy to give you their opinion. That doesn't mean they're going to go to a polling place and fill in a little oval.
Yeah.
And so you just, it's really, really hard when it comes to primaries to get polling right. And so, you know, Mike Lindell can look through whatever he wants to look through. He's not going to find anything. And Lisa Daymuth is going to be your candidate for governor. And that's, I think, a very good thing for Republicans.
Texters, we have a Republican that is critical of the DFL who said, I have to admit, I was impressed with this recent interview you did with Peggy Flanagan. And then other texters are saying that I gave softball questions and constantly talked over my Republican guest versus this one. I will say that I did talk over Lisa Daymuth a lot more. Part of that was a connection delay. So that was part of it. But also, Peggy Flanagan generally did not answer my questions, right? When I asked for one thing that Donald Trump has proposed that she agrees with, I think that was maybe the first time she's been asked that question. She didn't have an answer. She didn't say nothing, but she didn't have an answer. So it's a little harder to fact check and to engage when someone is pivoting. I'll get better at it. You want me to talk over everybody? Is that what you guys want? It is. We will have many times to visit with all of these candidates. Part of, I hope, right? Part of what I like about this group is that I would expect they'll be accessible to you guys via me. That's what this is. I'm here trying to ask questions that I think you would wonder about. Enough politics. Don't you feel that way? Like, break from those ads. No more ads for like a week anyway before they all get back on the air again. What are you fed up with? Give me real life stuff. Give me frustrations. Give me irritations. I've got a 18-year-old kid who's back at home with me. That may make an appearance on my Enough. 651-461-9226. No politics, but what have you had enough of? Drive Time back in just a minute. It's your chance. Get it off your chest. What's driving you nuts? Is it traffic? Is it your neighbor? Is it your kids? Is it your coworkers? 651-461-9226. You can call, you can text, you can send us a message on the Odyssey app. You know, I was listening to this radio station. There's a 9 to noon host. I don't know if you've heard this, Dan.
Never heard of him.
There's this guy on 9 to noon who says he doesn't ever listen to this radio station. Not really his cup of tea. What a jackass, right? I mean, seriously, could you imagine? talk radio, not for me. I do my show, but whatever the other goobers are doing. So I'm driving around yesterday morning. And did you know that Adam and Jordana do a segment called Stop It?
Stop. Sounds familiar. Wonder where they got that idea.
I mean, should I do a segment called Rate It? You can either rate it above expectations, below expectations, or meets expectations.
What about quick takes?
I've had enough of talk show hosts who are out of ideas. So out of ideas, they're stealing ours. Enough. 651-461-9226. What have you had enough of? Texter says, I've had enough of two-factor authentication. Every website, every account, no more, please. If I were running for governor, I would campaign to ban two-factor authentication on workplace apps unless your workplace pays for your phone. Because, look, for us to do our job, we have to have a phone.
Yes.
Because logging onto the text line gives me a two-factor authentication. Going to the payroll thing, everything requires two-factor authentication. Everything requires me to have a phone. This place should pay for my damn phone. True or false?
True. When we were formerly owned by a competent corporation, they had a discount, a company discount. For your cell phone.
Channel 4. What was that in the CBS days? So, yeah.
Yes.
We had that at Channel 4. Now, granted, like, the discount, I think, what was it, $20 or $40? I think it was $40 a month.
Was it that, or was that a percentage?
I don't know.
I had my head, but I don't remember.
I had to fill out an
expense report. It's been so long.
But $40 times 12 is $480. Would I rather make $500 more a year? Either way would be fine.
Yeah.
I
get it.
Two factors.
The only other side of that is, we do know at this place what it's like to be hacked.
True.
And have your life turned upside down.
It's not great.
You know, in terms of your workflow.
We have friends who've had that too.
Right.
Not
so,
ideal.
So to have, if the two-factor authentication is what I've got to do to make sure that my work life doesn't get disrupted like that again.
Right. But do you need it like to log on?
Kind of willing to do it.
To everything?
I think you either got to do it or not do it, right?
Too many passwords. I don't need to log into every single thing in the world. I have a low security password and a high security password. I've had enough passwords, to be honest. Sick of it. Jason, I've had enough of high dew points. We could take the heat, but the measurably high dew points really suck the enjoyment out of summer. For commentary, I go to our chief dew point correspondent, Dr. Dew, Dan Cook. Dan, your reaction to having enough of high dew points?
I could not agree more. If nothing else, what it does to my hair is really
outrageous.
Is really just criminal.
Yeah.
Currently, dew point is 61 degrees. Which,
what is that? What does that mean?
That's not.
Do these
great.
Numbers mean anything?
Sure, they
to
do.
Any of you guys?
You haven't. How long did you work for a TV station that every other day during the summer would put up a graphic that says, here's where the uncomfortable spot is, here's where the muggy spot is?
Can I tell you when I was finally taking a dang break in the morning news? Weather. I think.
Yeah, but I mean, that was just the morning. You didn't work mornings the whole time.
In 10 years of anchoring the morning show, I watched about 6 weather forecasts.
Man.
And they were doing weather every 10 minutes or so.
61's muggy, not gross.
So I found this chart on the internet.
There you go.
It says 60 to 64 is slightly humid.
Yeah.
Why do we have to have a chart to tell us?
You want it below 60, ideally. If you can get below 60, you're okay. So 61 isn't horrible.
What was wrong with just, instead of having a dew point that tells us how humid it is, we had a humidity percentage that told us how humid it was. What's wrong with humidity?
Well, because they're two slightly different things.
Ugh. Nerds. You know? Like, a dew point higher than 75 is oppressive.
Yes, that's gross.
I like it better.
Didn't we have one that was nearly 80 for a few minutes? That's just
if you're going to have a chart, I want a funnier chart. You know what I mean? Like, if the dew point is 70 to 75, you're pitting out. If you're, you know what I mean? Like just.
Or maybe is it a graphic with the stain growing larger?
Yeah, like how bad?
As it gets more, the dew point gets higher, the stain gets big. You know, I mean, they had the tiered chart there that you just showed. I mean, it could just be tiers.
I just would like on the funnier. Shirt. I would like funnier.
Everything. You charts. Would just like world to be funnier place.
I do miss when the world was more funny.
Yeah.
I like to laugh. Josh texts in, enough with MnDOT. Just got home 30 minutes ago in Maple Grove from the Twins game. Josh, it's just rush hour. Oh, well, construction. Is the construction is the issue? That's fair. I've had enough of spam calls hitting my cell phone. Phone companies could stop it if they want to, but I think they're making money off the traffic. I've sort of had a break on spam. You had a stretch. There was one day you got like five spam calls in the same
day. And I still get those same, because the same voicemail they leave every time, and I still get them once every 2-3 days now. But yeah, there was a period of time where it was just constant.
It was pretty bad. Let's break. 651-461-9226. What have you had enough of? No more politics. You can email me with your politics takes if you want. Jason@odyssey.com. We love when you listen to the show, and you can listen to interviews today with Lisa Damith. That is on the podcast page, so look for Drive Time with DeRussia. And Peggy Flanagan. Both those interviews available for you on podcast. Drive Time back with enough in just a minute. I have had enough of our neighbors cutting 1 foot over on our property. We have a perfect lawn. They have crabgrass. Oh, man, I always think about that as a lawn mowing aficionado. I brush up against my neighbor, and I try to, like, I don't want to go into his yard, but I want to have my lines straight. It's a little tricky. I get it, Mark. I feel that. Jason, I have had enough of WCCO Radio always talking about controversial subjects. You guys are stirring the pot as much as national media. Shame on you. I love stirring the pot. I like having good conversations about interesting things. That is stirring the pot, if you would prefer not interesting conversations. I don't know. Isn't the idea to talk about things that, like, get you going, get you excited to join the conversation, get you passionate about something? It doesn't have to be controversy, but it should evoke response. Otherwise, what are we doing here?
We also spent a large chunk of the show yesterday talking about baseball. So always stirring the pot is hyperbole off the charts.
Man, was I stirring it.
With Audra. Well, you got Audra hit by a foul ball today, so.
Asked her how much she made in her first job.
It's true, you did. We got to call her, but I want to get mine in real quickly.
All right,
and this is going to sound political, but it's not really political.
Okay.
I've had enough of not sticky enough I voted stickers. Because I got one yesterday, and I was so excited to wear it here because it drives the noon to three guys batty.
Right.
And, you know, and the people that you like to poke them. And so I was so happy to wear. And then it wasn't sticky enough, and it fell off my shirt somewhere, and I lost it, and I was very upset. Get better stickers.
What is 3M doing, right? They're the adhesive kings of the country.
I don't know.
They could have a better sticker.
They got that great double-faced tape. They could use that.
Jeff is in Sauk Rapids. Jeff, what have you had enough of?
I have had enough of this motorcycle lane splitting law.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It is insane.
I like
55 years on a motorcycle. I've never gotten injured. I've never scratched the paint, and they come up with this insanity. And
I thought it made sense. It does make sense. I think if people were actually observing what the letter of the law is, and
I don't see where it makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes any sense whatsoever.
In practice, it's a nightmare.
I was sitting at a traffic light yesterday. And we're all stopped, and, well, here comes a biker down the center lane.
Yeah.
You don't hear them until they get there.
Right.
When I'm sitting still, I'm not bothering to look in the mirror. This guy comes by with log pipes, makes me nearly jump out of my skin. I had my window open because I'm having a cigarette. That's the second time that happened.
Yeah.
What I would like to do is find a legislator that proposed that bill, put him on the back of my Harley, and we're going to go up and down the road, splitting lanes between trucks with wide mirrors.
Yeah.
And after he's crapped his pants a few times, I'll right. take him home and let him clean up.
Jeff, very well done. He almost hit the post. He almost took my full remaining 5 seconds. But I need to say it's Continental Diamond Time Check. It's 5:58. Henry Lake coming up next.